He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the November the 5th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, with still no decision yet in the White House. But the market today obviously is voting on a split government going forward. That means the Senate held by the Republicans, the House by the Democrats, and who knows in the hot seat of the White House. I still am worried about a split country, however, and we'll see, you know, where that goes in coming days and weeks. But having said that, we had our best day of the year yesterday, I think, in the market. We were up over 3.7%. We're having another good day today. We have one of the biggest winners in the market today, and it's one of our biggest holdings. I can't wait to crow about that one. The S&P is up 69 right now, 3,512. The Dow is up 488, 28,335. We're kind of back to where we were before the nervousness about the election started to set in. The nervousness seems to have dissipated. I think it's going to come back. That's just my opinion. The NASDAQ up 302 right now, 11,894, closing in on that all-time high of 12,000, which it did a few months back. Russell 2000 small caps today up 28 points, 1.8%. We've got crude oil not going anywhere, down 8 cents, 39.07. Gold having a strong day. Maybe gold sees trouble ahead. I don't know. It's at $19.33, up $38 per ounce. Silver's up $1.14 to $25.03. And last but not least, that bond market. Pretty quiet today, 0.77. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And what has been a very interesting week, to say the least. There's still a lot up in the air, I think it is fair to say. But right now the market is obviously gleeful, maybe prematurely gleeful, over what they think is what the market thinks is a little more clarity going forward. Investors obviously, the market obviously sees a divided government. What do I mean by that? No one party controlling all three of the branches of government. It appears, as of now, that the Republicans will retain the Senate and the Congress will retain in the hands of the Democrats. Why does the market like that? The market loves gridlock. The market's had gridlock for the last 2 years. But it's even more important, it would seem now, that it will be hard for any radical changes to be made with the Senate standing in the way. But, of course, it's still kind of all up in the air. It still hasn't been totally decided here. I worry, to be frank with you, about a divided country more than I'm gleeful over a divided government. You know, I mean, the lawsuits are flying, the allegations are flying back and forth, the market does not like uncertainty. Are we headed for a constitutional crisis? Will this go to the Supreme Court? This almost seems inevitable as we ponder and weigh all of the occurrences that are taking place. I've been up since 4:30 a.m. going through all the different news coming in from around the country, from around the world, but most importantly, from the stock market. Why do I go through news from around the world, from around the country, from around the states of America, the cities of America, because it all impacts your Roth IRA, your 401k, your investments. So I try to be as loaded with knowledge as I can. The more knowledge you have, the better decisions you can make has always been my philosophy. Well, the market yesterday had a phenomenal day. It embraced the mega caps once again. The NASDAQ was up 3.9% yesterday. I think that's what we were up as a firm here. We've had a huge, not only yesterday, but today. And we have kind of one hand tied behind our back. I still remain with about a 25% cash position right now. I want to see this thing get settled before I jump in with both feet once again. But even having almost both feet in the market was good enough for us yesterday. We were up, I think, 3.7% yesterday. We had some huge winners in the market, and we have some huge winners again today, which I'll be going through, including one of the biggest winners in the market, a company we've been writing about on Seeking Alpha, a company that I happen to know a lot about because it's a company that's headquartered in my hometown. We'll get to that in a bit. Wall Street awaits election results. Well, it comes down to Georgia. It comes down to North Carolina. It comes down to still Wisconsin, where the GOP is claiming foul, and Michigan they're claiming foul. This isn't pretty. And I think it gets uglier before it gets prettier. And then, of course, you've got out west, Nevada and Arizona. And you've got the lawsuits flying. Neither candidate right now has the magic number of 270. As far as we know, Biden sits at 264. If Nevada were to be called today, he would unofficially sit at 270, enough to win. But wait, there's lawsuits. There's people, poll sitters, poll watchers, ballot counters, people to observe. But, of course, there was that dark hole between about midnight on election night until 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 a.m., and that's where the Republicans are crying foul. So we shall see where this all ends up, but I think it could be messy in these battleground states. And we haven't even mentioned Pennsylvania, where you've still got all of those votes outstanding in the Keystone State, which may hold the key to the eventual winner. I think it's going to come down more to Arizona and Nevada, to be honest with you. At this point, we'll see where we go. How is the globe reacting to all of this mayhem in America? Hong Kong up 3.3% overnight. Japan up 1.7%, celebrating along with the U.S. on what they perceive as a split government going forward, where it will be hard to make radical or major changes to our systems. China up 1.3%, India up 1.8%, Germany up 1.3%. Well, you got a big stimulus package in England today. They are going to do a little bit of QE. Oh, we've heard of QE before. How many rounds of quantitative easing? Another name, a slick name for money printing for the most part. England takes on another round of stimulus. It was launched as the country enters into its second lockdown that runs from yesterday until December the 2nd. That's it. That's what's going on in England. So as a consequence, the UK Central Bank boosted its bond buying program. That's what they'll be buying, by a larger than expected 150 billion euros, taking the government's purchase target to 875 billion euros to help the economy weather another wave of coronavirus restrictions. So there you go. You've got quantitative easing in the UK, in England today, to try to offset a month of shutdown in the UK. Now, let's switch over to our side of the pond. Mitch McConnell sets sights on a stimulus bill by the end of the year. Well, we'll see. I think it's pretty difficult sledding to get the two sides to come together on anything right now. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said his top priority will be to pass a new economic stimulus bill. And where do we get the money to pay for it? Well, it's the same thing, the printing press or borrowing, one or the other. There's not a big pot of money sitting around, folks. This is Bill Gunnarsson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, let's just come back to that proposed stimulus bill here in the U.S. Where did we leave it before? Where did it leave off before the elections on Tuesday? The Republicans were trying to pass a bill somewhere in the neighborhood of a half a trillion. Just a simple half a trillion. The Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats were at $3 trillion. They passed a $3 trillion stimulus bill in May, which the Republican side of the Senate would not bite on. Now they've revised theirs down to $2.2 trillion, a $2.2 trillion package in early October. So about a month ago, neither of which were taken up by the Senate. And once again, McConnell has unsuccessfully tried to pass a $500 billion program that provided aid for schools and replenished the PPP small loan program that was blocked by Senate Democrats who said it didn't go far enough. And actually by some Republicans who said it cost too much. They wouldn't even go for a half a trillion. So there's where we stand, and those talks will pick up once again. Initial jobless claims come in, as they do every Thursday. Decent, but not good enough yet. We're at 751,000. Coronavirus cases are rising by the day, new ones, but I think that the fear of a total shutdown once again maybe is not what it was back in March of this year. But then you've got the UK on the other hand. You know, in England, they are shutting down for a month. Israel just came off of a month shutdown. So you can't rule that out of the possibilities here in the U.S. that we could have another protracted shutdown. Well, let's see. Should we listen to Bank of America? You know, they've been saying this for a long time, that there's going to be a rotation into the cyclical stocks. Okay. As I looked at the market yesterday, what did I see? I looked out the window. What did I see? I saw the tech big name mega cap stocks flying once again. And as I looked at the cyclicals, those stocks that are more sensitive to the economy, the Caterpillars of the world, the Deers of the world, the Honeywells of the world, companies like this, I have yet to see that cyclical rotation, but I keep hearing about it. I let my data, which I collect every night in crunch, show me where the leadership in the market is on a daily basis. And I have yet to see any indication of a strong rotation into the cyclical stocks. As I look at the leading sectors in the market, which I rank daily, I've seen the same sectors at the top for months now. When I look at the sectors at the bottom, when I look at the asset classes and the indexes that are at the top of my list and the ones that are at the bottom of the list, I fail to see this big rotation into cyclicals, industrials, materials. But if it happens, it'll happen, and it will start showing up in my relative ranking of the various asset classes at some point in time. But suffice it to say, Bank of America likes DuPont, International Paper, Packaging Corp, Sealed Air, companies like this, which I don't agree with at the current time. These are not the leadership stocks. This is not the areas of the economy that are flourishing right now. Well, we've always got EV news. EV. I should just do a whole EV show someday. It seems like EV, meaning electrical vehicles. It's a new term in our vocabulary. How's the EV sector today? There was no EV sector for years and years and years, but Tesla came along and changed all that. And in particular, right now, you've got all this action in the Chinese EV sector. We've got a new player. Well, they've been around for a while, but the U.S. is now going to allow candy, not Snickers, not Kit Kat, candy technology spelt with a K. KNDI has received the required clearance from the Environmental Protection Agency for its two electric vehicle models to enter the U.S. market. Now, this comes on the heels of Li Auto. They got approval recently to sell their cars in the U.S. market. I don't think Boyd, I could be wrong, but I don't think Boyd, Barry would have the answer to that. He did the deep dive into Boyd. But now you've got candy. And, oh, I know NIO is coming to America, too, N-I-O. So you're going to have a big selection of EVs here real soon. Let's see how candy stock is doing today. K-N-D-I, like taking candy from a baby. It was up big yesterday. It's up 2.6% today. They're a pretty small player. I mean, this is a $450 million company. By contrast, the one that we like, BYDDF, Boyd, which is owned in part by Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, that's a $70 billion company. So you're dealing with a very, very tiny little company in candy. How about Nikola? I see GM reports their earnings today. You know, GM seems to be on a pretty good track right now. GM obviously is betting big on the all-electric Hummer coming out. We've seen commercials for that. They're getting a lot of reservations and a lot of people saying, hey, I want one when it comes off the assembly line. GM reported earnings today, which were better than expected. And they also announced that they are still the partnership talks with Nikola out of Arizona. Nikola, which wants to make those Wolverine trucks, or are they Badger? I think they're Badger pickups, all electric, making them there in Arizona, wherever else, having part fuel cell and part EV, electric. GM has not called off talks with Nikola. I think they're doing a little bit more due diligence on the company, however. Well, there seems to be a pretty good move in the weed, the cannabis sector since the election. Several more states did legalize the weed stuff. Innovative Industrial, IIPR, which is a REIT. It's a cannabis REIT. We didn't have any of those when I was growing up. We didn't have any of those when I was getting into the business. We now have cannabis REITs. This is actually a very good, profitable company that pays a big dividend yield. You've probably heard of it. IIPR. IIPR. Big move again today. Record growth at this cannabis REIT. Okay, when we come back, we have one of the biggest winners of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks in Colorado. Dow up 566 right now. That's a 2% move. I think mostly on, we're going to have gridlock for the next 4 years. We're going to have President Biden. We're going to have a Republican Senate. We're going to have a Republican House, or a Republican Senate and a Democratic House. And nothing will get done, which Wall Street likes. You've also got the NASDAQ right now up about, where's that NASDAQ bug? Here it comes. It's coming around. Got the 10-year yield at 0.77. One more 7 and you get a jackpot. But we've got the S&P up 75 points right now. NASDAQ's up 266, 2.3%. I still have my worries, however. I'm almost fully invested, 75, 80% invested. I've got a little on the sidelines here. I want to see a resolution to a few matters going forward, and I just worry a little bit about some contention in our nation going forward, okay? So, as a money manager, I have to also do a little bit of risk management from time to time, just in case. I have a lot of people as clients, and I have to protect them from time to time when I foresee the possibility of a little bit of volatility and turbulence ahead. All right, let's get back to this. I wanted to get back to the cannabis sector just for a minute. I know a lot of people like to hear about it. Aphria laps up Sweetwater Brewing. Now, that's interesting. I mean, you've got a cannabis stock, one of the bigger ones, Aphria, buying a big brewing company for $300 million. Well, you know, Constellation Brands was kind of going down that road, too, buying up some cannabis stocks. I think they teamed up with Tilray. I believe Sweetwater Brewing is a big company out of Atlanta, $300 million. Here's the money line from it all. It says, the company says Sweetwater Brewing is one of the largest independent craft brewers in the U.S. based on volume, with a portfolio of brands that is closely aligned with a cannabis lifestyle. So there you go. You get it all from one company. Back to General Motors just for a minute. General Motors said sales in the U.S. and China are recovering faster than many people expected, and GM is benefiting from robust customer demand for our new vehicles and services, especially our full-size pickups and SUVs. Well, you know, you got the move towards electric vehicles, and it seems people still want their full-size pickups and SUV gas guzzlers on the other side of that coin also. But I think GM's comments that things are recovering faster than many people expected, we saw that in the GDP numbers, better than expected. We're definitely seeing that in this current earnings season that we're in. This is about the fifth or sixth time I'm going to say this. Since earnings season began, we've got about 86, 88% of the companies beating their estimates. That's a record. And we started off this earnings season expecting a 20% downdraft from the same quarter last year. Well, now we're at about 10% downdraft and closing that gap with each company that reports earnings. This is one of the best earnings seasons, which earnings season lasts about 6 to 8 weeks. This is probably the best one I've ever seen, believe it or not. Mercado Libre flying today. Why do I bring up Mercado Libre, you say? MELI is the Amazon of South America. It's based out of Argentina. It's breaking out to new all-time highs. just confirms another trend. Okay, we have a trend of an economy recovering much faster than expected. But the other big trend, obviously, is away from bricks and mortar into online. I own an ETF called iBuy, I-B-U-Y. I have a friend who created that online retail index. That ETF follows that online retail index, so it obviously has companies like Wayfair, Amazon, Overstock, Stamps.com, Mercado Libre. You can go on and on and on in the companies that are benefiting from the new online economy that started blasting off several years ago. On the one hand, you've got CBL and Associates, which runs 78 shopping centers across America, declaring bankruptcy. And you've got Mercado Libre, Amazon, and these internet retail stocks delivering packages to your front doorstep. Just absolutely flying right now. Mercado Libre up 7% right now, 6%, hitting a new all-time high after flying past Q3 estimates. Regeneron, a company that's been in the news recently, playing a big role in coronavirus, in fact, playing a big role in the recovery of President Trump. According to President Trump, the Regeneron drug knocked the heck out of COVID. And anyways, Regeneron's one of the best biotechs in the country. But having said that, there has not been real consistent growth at Regeneron. For that reason, I do not own Regeneron. There's not a lot of value there right now, but suffice it to say, the company did come in. They beat by $1.37. I think it's a company definitely worth mentioning because of this major role that it's played here in the fight against COVID. And Regeneron has a big, big portfolio of drugs. It's mostly in the eye, macro degeneration and that kind of thing with their drug Eylea. Yeti. You know what? I go to these, we have a Yeti store in downtown Charleston. I see all of the fishing guides skipping up and down the river here in front of me, the famous Wando River. They've all got Yeti equipment. They've got Yeti coolers. They've got, you know, their Yeti thermoses. I guess thermos is a brand name. Yeti to keep their drinks cold or to keep their drinks hot, depending on the weather. Yeti is a blowout stock today. Yeti beats earnings by a wide margin, Y-E-T-I, breaking out. You know what? That's music to my ears. I don't own Yeti, but I do like companies and stocks that are flourishing. I don't like companies that are floundering. We can catch flounder here, a lot of flounder on the Wando River. I catch flounder here right from my backyard almost. I've had several flounder this year, but I don't want to buy a stock that's floundering or a company or a sector that's floundering. I like flourishing. That's my style. That's what I've built over the years, and it's just worked better for me than being a contrarian. You know, a lot of the contrarians are throwing in the towel right now. You had a big contrarian fund. Maybe it's time to become a contrarian because the contrarians are quitting, you know. But you had a major contrarian hedge fund manager throw in the towel because it's been such a horrible style of investing, really, for the last decade. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? One of the hottest stocks in the market, Mirati Therapeutics, MRTX. That thing is ranked, like, in the top 10 in my Best Stocks Now app. A little too risky for me. However, having said that, they have some potent drugs working against tumors, cancer. This stock's hitting $234 per share today. $10.5 billion. Mirati Therapeutics, MRTX, which is headquartered in my hometown of San Diego, California. No, that's not the San Diego stock that I was talking and teasing about earlier. We'll get to that in a bit. AstraZeneca misses by 4 cents. They miss on revenue, but AstraZeneca has popped higher recently along with the rest of the market. I sold my position in AstraZeneca. You know, they're in the race for the vaccine. They're a good company with or without a vaccine. That's just such a poor sector right now. The large pharmaceutical stocks, that sector, Merck, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Glaxo, and on and on and on. It's a terrible sector right now. Now, I believe in owning flourishing stocks, and for the most part, you're going to find flourishing stocks in flourishing sectors, not in floundering sectors. The large drug stocks continue to flounder. When we come back, one of the biggest winners in the market today, one of our largest positions here at Gunderson Capital. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on this Thursday. Well, we've got a lot of big winners in the market today again. We've had just a phenomenal 2 days in a row. If it lasts, the Dow's up 623. I don't see it fading unless there's something that really changes the mood on Wall Street today. But we're having another huge day here. At our firm, one of our big winners is actually Barrick Gold. One of the few gold stocks. I'm not a big fan of gold and gold stocks, but Barrick Gold fits my criteria of making sense from a valuation proposition and having some momentum at its back. And I have pretty good company in owning Barrick Gold. That was one of Warren Buffett's more recent purchases, was Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D. But the stock that is just knocking it out of the park today, okay, well, I'm going to go to Seeking Alpha here today, and I'm going to check when we last wrote about this. This was one of our most recent articles on Seeking Alpha. By the way, the CEO of and founder of Seeking Alpha passed away today, Eli Hoffman. He was the one that actually recruited me originally to write for Seeking Alpha. I always found him to be a very, very kind and generous human being. I believe he's based out of Israel, and I always really enjoyed and loved Eli Hoffman. He created some kind of website there at Seeking Alpha. So, yeah, I was I retweeted that in memory of Eli Hoffman, who passed away this morning, the founder and CEO of Seeking Alpha, where I've been writing for the last 10 years, I guess, something like that. But we recently wrote about a company that really kind of, it didn't fall on hard times, but it just didn't have any growth for a number of years after being one of the hottest stocks I ever saw back in the late 90s, Qualcomm. Which, you know, I knew so many people in San Diego. They were a major employer. I had many clients that worked for Qualcomm. I had many friends that worked for Qualcomm. I watched the San Diego Chargers under Don Coryell play in Qualcomm Stadium. Well, Don Coryell's gone. Qualcomm Stadium's gone. And the Chargers are gone. Those were the days. But I keep a picture in my office, an autographed picture of Don Coryell standing on the sidelines, mapping out the next play with Dan Fouts in what was the most exciting football of all time. And he was right there in Qualcomm Stadium, one of the sports memorabilia items that I own that I treasure. Coryell was an offensive genius when it comes to football. And, of course, many of his systems are pretty much dominating the NFL today, to this day. Coryell passed away several years ago up in the Washington area. He lived off of Seattle on one of the islands there. I can't remember the name of the island, but rest in peace, Eli Hoffman, Don Coryell. But Qualcomm knocking it out of the park today. We wrote about Qualcomm very recently. Barry did the deep dive into it. I looked at the skeleton of the article and identified. I said, we need to write an article on Qualcomm. They're a major player in 5G. Gee, look at that stock move today. We wrote the article on August the 12th of this year, roughly 4 months ago. How did we do? Since that time, well, actually, Qualcomm has been a market performer. It's up 26.3%. Oh, no, it's not. It's been way more of a market performer. I'm sorry. We delivered alpha once again. That's why we're in the top 1.7% of all of the authors and writers on Seeking Alpha. Thanks, Eli, for recruiting me. Qualcomm's up 26.3% since we wrote the article. The S&P's up 4.2%. Now, I put my money where my mouth is. I eat my own cooking. I practice what I preach. We made Qualcomm. Not only do we own Qualcomm in our premier growth large cap portfolio, Qualcomm pays a dividend. Oh, yeah. Well, you can buy AT&T and get a 6% dividend yield with absolutely no growth whatsoever. Or you can own a Qualcomm. You get a little bit less of a dividend yield. But we're after total return. We're getting capital appreciation on top of our dividend yield. The current dividend yield of Qualcomm is not bad. 1.8%. I think it was about 2.5% when we bought it. Stock hitting a new all-time high today. Now, my Best Stocks Now app ranks stocks based on valuation and performance. Those two have to come together. 1 year ago, well, let's go 3 months ago, Qualcomm was ranked number 13. That's about when we wrote the article, out of 5,472. 2 months ago, it was ranked number 6 out of 5,470. These rankings don't change radically from day to day. These trends last for quite some time. 1 month ago, Qualcomm was ranked number 33. 7 days ago, it was ranked number 16. You see, it's consistently been in that top tier of the market based on valuation and performance. Yesterday, it was ranked number 17. No wonder it's one of our largest positions. Get this, it's up 13.4% today after knocking the socks off of their earnings estimates. We'll take it. Well, if you'd like to put Bill Gunderson and his Cracker Jack team to work for you, we have an offense, yes. We strive, we do everything we can to put the very best portfolios together that we possibly can. But we also know from time to time you have to wield a little bit of defense out on the field. We have just a little bit right now because I can foresee as a market strategist the potential for a little turbulence ahead until we get this whole matter settled. And I think it could get a little dicier before it gets a little clearer. So we'll see. We'll see. But in the meantime, I'm buying stocks. I found a good one today that I hopefully will be adding to my portfolios later today. So anyways, if you'd like to see how we've done, look, go to tipranks.com. Type in Bill Gunderson. See where I'm ranked. Get my newsletter that I put out every Friday. I'll be writing that again tomorrow. Check how our portfolios have done. But better yet, talk to one of my advisors. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.